In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Whatever magic sauce the NFL has for their product, they do come up with entertaining games. Even in week one, there's a bunch of good games yesterday, including Sunday Night Football that went to overtime. The Rams and the Lions. Who were you pulling for in that game, Woods?
Lions.
You were pulling for Dan Campbell's. I know you do.
I love Dan Campbell. And I loved, you know what? Jared Goff is a guy that's really grown on me the last few years. He kind of took that trade and everyone, you know, kind of ranked him out a little bit for getting traded to Lions. And he's really been a big part of their resurgence. I like them.
Did you watch the Dan Campbell commercial? Applebee's?
I didn't see it, but I like.
Hiding your face.
He takes their order. He's like,
is that him?
He goes, no, you got to talk like this. Cover your mouth.
Why did I think, is Peyton Manning in one of those two? Or is it just Dan Campbell?
It's just Dan Campbell.
Must be losing my mind. I just like, when the Lions are on, I'm like, ooh, I want to watch. I love Ross St. Brown. I like a bunch of their players.
How about David Montgomery in overtime?
Beast.
Absolutely. They just said, we're handing you the ball. 45 yards, including the one-yard game-winning touchdown as the Lions pull out the Sunday night win, 26-20. Over the Rams, the Friday night game, Eagles-Packers was a pretty good one. Saquon Barkley, great debut for Philadelphia with three touchdowns in that game. In Brazil was one of the good ones over the weekend.
Survivor pick champion right here already after week one. I had the Eagles.
1 week.
Had to sweat it out.
Whew. I know it's sour grapes, but it does. I feel like Survivor pool shouldn't start until like week three.
Yeah.
We have an idea of whether a team is good or not.
That's what losers say. That's what I said last year
with
when
you,
I lost.
I'm not bringing that to the table because I lost.
I mean, he hates to lose so much.
I tweeted that before
it
even started.
He hates to lose to me.
I tweeted that well before. I think the Bengals game was tied when I tweeted that. But I just, it's such a guessing game. I always just go with the biggest home favorite of week one.
Sure. And that was missed the Bengals. We did it last year. We brought it back this year. We did just an internal show.
There's like six,
survival
five
pool.
Of us.
Five of us. It's us three. It's our boss, Adam, and our boss's boss, Michael. And once the picks are locked, you still can't see who everybody else picked.
Correct.
Until the games have kicked off.
Correct.
So we knew on Friday night that Woods had picked the Eagles.
Yep.
His lock was in, and it lit up green, but it still had question marks for all four teams. Sunday morning, after kickoff, I go and look. The rest of us all picked the Bengals.
Yep.
We did not text each other about it. We did not know who each other was picking. We all picked the Bengals, and I go, oh, no. Like, I saw the writing on the wall. It didn't look good for the Bengals pretty much from the start.
And just remember, next year we'll just start it at week three.
Start week two.
Yeah,
I'm fine with that.
Week two.
At least.
It's a good compromise.
You have at least an idea
of what they got.
Of what teams have got.
I mean, I actually, in full disclosure, I had the Bengals as well until I looked and saw that Joe Burrow had no one. T. Higgins was going to be out. Jamar Chase. I was like, he's got nobody. And Joe needs to figure it out. You know, if Joe wants to be one of the
pick
elite
against the Patriots,
it was.
I kept hearing from everybody how bad the Patriots were going to be.
Yeah, but they got that running back. They're
on the road, but yeah, I honestly thought Jacoby Brissett
was fine.
Didn't look that bad.
Yeah.
Serviceable at quarterback.
I missed a
Gerard
ton of it.
Gerard Mayo with a win in his very first game.
I missed a ton of it. Left house at 7:30 a.m. Got home at 5 and was at three different baseball fields. So I listened to a little bit on the radio, saw some of the highlights, watched some of the Lions game last night. I did not get the full NFL experience yesterday by any stretch.
Bills Cardinals game was good. Buffalo rallies. Josh Allen to me still has some flaws,
sure.
But man, if you're trying to tackle him around the end zone, he's going to find a way to get in.
I got
as a quarterback.
I'm getting heckled in the chat. People are saying, "How about them Fighting Irish?" Woods?
No. Yeah.
Listen, you notice? What did I say? You guys,
you were actually
you
called
know,
it before anybody
I said
else.
It.
You did.
I said it.
You did.
It's why I did not come in here last Monday going. I go, it was an impressive win at a really tough place to play. The hype is unreal about the team, and it doesn't make a lot of sense. And the minute, it's why I never. You know when I'll beat my chest about the Irish? When they run the table and win the national championship. That's it. I won't say a word until. It's also never going to happen in my lifetime. Never. It's happened once. I got mine. I'm good. Jordan from North Carolina was like, "Bro, why do you quit on him so early?" I go, "Because I'm not going to let myself get invested in this every year. I'm not. Next Saturday when the game's on, I'll be like, oh, I'm sure we have. Oh, we'll be at Alcatraz. You think I'm going to care about missing the Irish game now? No. I could not care less. They kill me every year. You lost to Northern Illinois, which, by the way, let's make an executive decision. I want to put their coach in do this today.
Oh,
we had
I
a couple
that.
Of other
yeah.
ideas.
Awesome.
I'm watching that at the end as a Notre Dame fan, and I'm tearing up because that was amazing and good for them. Literally good for them. I'm not a sore loser by any stretch in that with that team because, Ben, I'm watching the National. They're going to be favored in every game. Marcus Freeman, early coach of the year. These guys, they have a national championship defense. I'm going, do you know who you're talking about? They crush me every year, so I don't even get mad.
Yeah, there weren't as many good college games this week as there were in week one. The big marquee matchup was Texas-Michigan, but the Longhorns went into the Big House and outclassed the Wolverines.
You want to talk about growth? I watched some of that game. You know what I didn't do? I didn't say, ha ha, ha ha, Michigan, ha ha. And I hate Michigan. I was so happy to see that. But it was Texas. Texas is very good. And I did not tweet and say a word. I said, well, we are playing Northern Illinois, who's most definitely going to keep it close. If we win, it's going to be by one. So I'm just not going to say a word. And I'm glad I didn't. But it was nice to see Michigan get smoked at home.
Ends their 16-game winning streak and 23-game home winning streak. And first loss in the post-Jim Harbaugh era. I will also throw in one other game.
Oh, I hope it's the one I want you to throw in.
Probably not. I was going to mention one of the best games was Oregon-Boise State, which was Oregon won on a field goal late. It was the late game on Peacock on Saturday night.
Late, wasn't
late,
it?
Late Peacock. Oregon wins at 37-34.
Did you watch that whole game?
I did not watch the whole game. I was just watching the end. And I do think, though, Boise State, even though they lost, probably now the favorite to make the 12-team playoff out of the non-Power Four. If they win the Mountain West, and with that as maybe their only loss, that's a pretty good resume to put together. Assuming there's not going to be any like undefeated other teams, which there may not be. That was a good loss for Boise State. They've got a really good running back. That Ashton Jeanty had nearly 200 more yards, has over 400, I think, 50 yards in the first two games. They're a force to be reckoned with and could be a playoff team in college football.
I thought you were going to bring up Colorado-Nebraska.
I didn't watch much of it. I saw Nebraska. I saw one of Deion's kids got hurt.
Yeah.
And Nebraska won fairly handily at home. And I think the Deion Sanders experiment
it's got to be over.
It's getting close to you want to pull the plug if you're Colorado.
Somebody basically said it's fine like that he's there, but he's just an agent for Travis Hunter and Shador. That's it. He's not a coach. Right now, and I was like, man. I mean,
a good coach would have got some offensive line.
To protect him. I mean, he didn't.
Shador, I watched most of that game. Is on mute. I know we'll talk about the broadcast at some point. I had that game muted. I think I don't know. I had another game on the other TV with the volume, but like, Shador was under pressure every single snap running for his life. And I'm like, dude, you have Travis Hunter, probably going to win a Heisman.
He's amazing.
Shador could be a Heisman candidate. Like, they are so good. They're both first rounders. I'm like, get somebody to protect these guys.
After what I saw from Shador Sanders after the game, I was like, I don't want that guy. If I'm an NFL team, I'm like, I don't want that dude. Bailed 2 minutes left. And then first thing he says in his press conference, how many times did Raiola get hit tonight? It's like, whoa, geez, dude. Holy cow. Accountability is not his jam right now. But look, he's a kid. They're going to learn. And somebody made the point, too, that said, as the head coach, you shouldn't be the reason that every team wants to kill your team. Does that make sense? As the head coach, you should not be the reason that everyone plays you like they're out to kill, you know? And I said, man, that is not good. That is not good.
Deion is great for bringing eyeballs to a program.
Did it. He's done it.
He's not a bad guy.
No,
but there's a lot more to being a great football coach. And in that sense, Deion's lacking. And by the way, quickly, we need a contestant for Take on Woods. I forgot to throw out the phone numbers, but they're wide open. We're going to play in like 1 minute. So call now, 833-288-0973. You want to Take on Woods, qualify for a trip to Las Vegas, 833-288-0973. When you're winning, you can get away with things like, yeah, I don't want to answer questions from this reporter in a press conference. When you're losing, it's just a bad look for Deion Sanders. And now they're piling up the bad looks after bad looks. And while they probably at Colorado was getting no attention whatsoever, and
selling
any attention
out,
is good attention, I'm sure there are some people in that administration are now going, what exactly is he doing for us at this point? He's losing. He's bringing negative attention on us most weeks. And there doesn't seem to be much of a future for him or our program at this point. No progress is being made. If anything, it's backwards at this point.
Well, when he decides to not recruit, essentially, That tells me something. Like, you knew you needed an offensive line. If you wanted to protect your son, you knew you needed one. You needed to be out there grinding, knocking on doors. And he was like, nah, I'm not doing it. Not doing it.
Yeah, their offensive line is ridiculously bad.
The word I like is porous.
Porous is
they're
a good
word. Porous offensive line.
Sieve.
They're a sieve. Sieve is another great one. I like a salve as well. Doesn't apply
Not
there.
Really.
They need a salve.
After their sieve of an offensive line.
Yeah.
All right.
We ready?
Looks like we got some contestants. Let's do it. It's time for our first game of the week. Let's take on
Woods. It's time for Take on Woods.
Take on Woods.
All right. Let's meet our first contestant of the week. I'm just going with line one. Caller, who's this?
This is where you talk if you're on the phone right now.
Hello.
That's you.
Hello.
Yes.
Oh, okay, yeah. It's, Mario.
Mario! Congratulations. Mario, what are you up to this morning?
I'm just finishing up. I had a birthday party this weekend.
Nice. All right. Your birthday or someone else's?
Mine.
All right. Happy birthday. Well, hopefully we can add to your present list by qualifying you for a trip to Las Vegas, two nights at the Wynn or Encore, fancy, and two tickets to see Awakening at the Wynn Las Vegas, dazzling audiences with soaring aerialists, bounding acrobats, and high-energy choreography. Get your tickets now at awakening.com. Take on Woods is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. Here's how our game works. Mario, you're going to get five questions of musical trivia. Then Woods will get the same five questions. If you beat or tie him, we'll put you into the drawing for the trip to Las Vegas. And just to give you a little advantage, we'll let you pick the category and keep Woods in the dark. So here are your choices. Little Shop of Horrors, five song titles or musical artists beginning with the word little. At the Car Wash, different types of cars in each song title. And now our new category is called an iffy category, five song titles that begin with the word if. So Little Shop of Horrors, At the Car Wash, or an iffy category, Mario?
At the Car Wash.
At the Car Wash. All right, this is another category actually submitted by Tier 1 Paul. He did one another week ago. Not our Paul, but a different Paul. It's not that easy to come up with hundreds of these, so I do appreciate Paul's work on my behalf. All of today's answers are song titles that reference a type of automobile in the title. You'll have 60 seconds. If you don't know one, you can say pass. We'll come back to it if there's time left on the clock. First question is our two-second song, Mario. Paulie's going to play a little music. Listen carefully, then give me the title with that kind of car and the artist to score that point. Are you ready to play?
Yes.
All right, let's do it. 60 seconds on the clock. In the category at the car wash, Mario, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Woods.
Lowrider.
By?
War.
Correct. Which Bruce Springsteen 1984 hit shares a title with the type of car top sellers of Mary Kay Cosmetics receive as a reward for their success?
Oh, gosh. Pass.
Which title track from a 1965 Beach Boys album is about a 1932 Ford hot rod?
Pass for now.
Janis Joplin goes a cappella in which song recorded just days before her death with lyrics from a poem by Michael McClure?
Pass.
A classic Ford figures prominently in which 1960s hit for Wilson Pickett? Go back to which Bruce Springsteen 1984 hit shares the title with the type of car top sellers of Mary Kay Cosmetics receive as a reward for their success?
Pass.
Which title track from a 1965 Beach Boys album is about a 1932 Ford hot rod? Oh, just the one. You got the two-second song, which is good, but the rest of them you did not get. Bruce Springsteen, Pink Cadillac, Little Deuce Coupe from the Beach Boys, Mercedes-Benz from Janis Joplin, and Mustang Sally by Wilson Pickett. You got Lowrider by War. All right, one, hang on the line there, Mario. Woods, back in the studio after his breathing exercises. 6 seconds in, 6 seconds out.
That's right.
Doesn't get the category. Let's reset everything. 60 seconds back on the clock. Woods, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Mario.
Lowrider by War?
Correct. Which Bruce Springsteen 1984 hit shares the title with the type of car top sellers of Mary Kay Cosmetics receive as a reward?
Pink Cadillac.
Correct. Which title track from a 1965 Beach Boys album is about a 1932 Ford hot rod?
Little Deuce Coupe?
Correct. Janis Joplin goes a cappella in which song recorded just days before her death with lyrics from a poem by Michael McClure?
Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz?
Mercedes-Benz, correct. Benz. A classic Ford figures prominently in which 1960s hit for Wilson Pickett.
A classic Ford. The T-Bird.
No, good guess, though. Mustang Sally.
Mustang Sally.
4-1, Woods takes it this week. A victory to start a new week of taking. Woods, Mario, thanks for playing.
Did Ford make the T-Bird?
Ford Thunderbird? Yeah,
okay,
I think so.
Yeah,
but this was Mustang, Ford Mustang Sally. All right, well done.
Thank you. We'll see you tomorrow.
We'll have another opportunity to qualify. Woods, you said you had a tease for Don't Do This.
Oh.
I'll turn things over to you.
Delusional Dodger fan brain rot showed up this weekend. Delusional. It has to do with us. Did you see this?
I did.
They've lost their minds. They've lost their ever-loving minds. Also, we have... Colt McCoy, Ben, his audio.
Oh, okay.
You heard this?
No, I have not. I've been looking forward to it.
That's one way to put it. You're the one that's looking forward to Colt McCoy calling a football game. Play that for you next. Holy cow, man.
After a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Oh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Woods is taking the lead today in our don't and do this segment, which is fine by me. I'm going to sit here and react.
Sit and react and relax. Listen, everybody that breaks into broadcasting of any kind has clips and tapes of them where they would never want them to get out. I've got them. Ben's got them. Paulie has his from his old days back at San Diego State. Not you. We're not proud of it, but you're getting your feet wet. You're learning the ropes. Now, again,
I'm not embarrassed by it.
No, no.
But you're like, I'm good. I don't need to hear that.
Yeah, I don't want to hear it again. I'm not embarrassed, but also I'll die if I have to hear it again.
The difference is that most of us went through those growing pains on a very small scale.
Yes. Yes, that's
now,
it.
I bet a lot of people are thinking this is a Tom Brady segment.
So I didn't get to hear much of Tom Brady.
He wasn't great.
But I heard he wasn't great.
No, he was not.
But this one, I just don't understand. Now, good quarterback at University of Texas, had a long NFL career. They decide to put Colt McCoy in to call the Nebraska-Colorado game. I wasn't watching it initially. I was busy, and I saw people tweeting about it. Like, I saw Damian Woody tweet, or I saw somebody tweet, can we get Colt McCoy a coffee? And I saw Damian Woody say, I need him to get excited about calling this game. And I go, well, I'm going to go check this out. Within 4 seconds of watching it, I texted both of you. I go, oh my God, are you guys watching this game? And you're like, I'm at a bar.
I had no audio.
You had it muted. Yeah. You were listening to records. Paulie was listening to vinyl.
I had two games going, both muted, just listening to some music.
And I'm like, what the hell is Paulie's listening to vinyl? I'm scouting out college football. So I put it on. And I go, babe, get in here. Get in here. He sounds just like Boom Goes the Dynamite. We got a little clip.
Okay.
Listen to this. The huge game.
The clip was titled, Colt McCoy Wants You to Watch Something.
Yeah, watch number 24 right here. And then I want you to watch Nash Hutmaker. And here, I want you to watch number 44. I just want you to watch number 42, Mekhi Bayer. Yeah, watch these linebackers. Yeah. Watch 92 right here, Anquan Barnes. I just want you to watch the push of this whole unit right here.
The whole game was like that.
There's a pass down, and how he caught it. Yes, he did. Yeah.
It was... I can't listen. I felt so bad for him. I really did. I felt bad for him because he's drowning. And if he was dumb enough...
The man just retired like 3 weeks ago, and he's launched into a booth for a
prime time game. He really does sound like the Boom the Dynamite. Boom Goes the Dynamite. He sounds like identical.
Yeah, here he is.
He's got that kind of the high-pitched voice. But I thought, yeah, man, throw him in, you know, throw him on some low-level game. Let him get his feet under him. It was bad. And I hope he was smart enough to not go to social media. Because that's when you're making, you know, you're doing a big game. Oh, check this at half. See how I'm doing. I mean, you're done. You're
switching to Ball State men's tennis.
That's him.
It seems last week player on. It seems every week that you have a player.
You know, it actually makes me happy.
And Boom Goes the Dynamite.
Because there have been some guys who have instantly been good.
Those guys drive you nuts,
Tony too. Tony Romo was pretty much good right away. Greg Olsen,
phenomenal.
Tom Brady replaced, really was much better than Tom Brady. Any question about it that Greg Olsen debuted and he was already well above the level Tom Brady is at now, which is a bit of a problem for Fox that now they've clearly put a worse guy in the booth for the guy that they had who was doing a really nice job of it. But it's not always that easy.
I'm curious to see how Brady develops. I'm sure with his mind of the football knowledge that he possesses, I'm like, how could he not be good?
He will work at it. He will get more comfortable. He will be decent at the job. He's personable
enough. But I saw the reviews and I'm like, God, it's interesting that like the GOAT can't talk about the sport in which he was the GOAT at. I mean, they
paid him a fortune.
Can you imagine like Michael Jordan calling an NBA game?
I don't know that I'd want to hear it.
I don't think I would either. Again, I don't think it'd be very good.
Again, you don't need everything. You don't have to be good at everything. Let the guys that are good at it be good at it. And then you were great. Like, you were great at what you did. Just be great. You don't have to be great at everything you do. So I didn't hear a lot of it. I heard 2 seconds. I went, all right, whatever. It's his first game.
Adam, our boss in the chat, goes, a worse guy for 300 times the cost.
300 times the cost. All right, I will do this. When I was sitting at home watching the game on Saturday night, and my friend, who is a Dodger fan, sent me this. I guess she is a member of Dodgers Fans of San Diego, which is an Instagram account. And she sent me a screenshot, and I went, oh, my God. So I'm looking at this. So it was, hey, ask you the bit. Ask me a question.
It's a little text box.
Text box,
press
yeah.
It, yeah, submit a question.
So they asked Dodgers Fans of San Diego, is it just me, or are the morning guys from 97.3 The Fan huge Dodger haters? So the answer was yes. People throw around rent-free all the time, but you never hear L.A. stations talking about the Padres. Dodgers live rent-free in Padres' heads. They why they hate us. All right, so a couple things here. Number one, they don't talk about the Dodgers in L.A. So we will mention the Dodgers, you know, from time to time, but about...
We also mentioned the Guardians from time
correct.
To time.
Yeah, yeah. Now, listen, he's not wrong. We hate the Dodgers. It's fine. What did you expect? What do you expect? You want to get your team glazed, just go to MLB, at MLB on Twitter. Go to ESPN, go to baseball, go to the MLB Network. There's no shortage. Go to Ben Verlander. There's no shortage of Dodgers love. You're not getting it here. You're not going to get it here. I do not tip my cap to your team.
So, is it just me or the guys on 710 ESPN LA just huge Lakers fans?
Right, yeah. Like, super weird.
Shocker.
Like, are you really, you guys are really that surprised? And that's the brain rot I'm talking about. They really think everyone should bow down to them. And it's my number one beef with that fan base. You think you're a dynasty and you think everybody should kiss your ass. You're not going to get it. You're not going to get it on our show. That I promise you. I mean,
mostly.
Not on our show, you won't.
No.
But you do have a special affinity for one.
Man, you do a great job.
Which we're never going to get out of it. Ridiculous. Brain rot.
All right, finally, a little doo-doo this. And I will I'll take the lead
mega
here.
Doo-doo.
First of all, I was watching the Notre Dame Northern Illinois game. We talked about it earlier.
Yeah,
big upset.
You're a little giddy on your text.
Well, it was fun. It was a fun upset. So at the end of the game,
was it?
Northern Illinois, I mean, they go into South Bend.
Crazy.
They're up by two. What, 16-14 late. All they need is a first down to clinch the game. And they
jobbed.
Go for it. And, like, the guy clearly gets it by a yard. But the official, for some reason, thinks he has seen the knee go down and spots it like a half yard behind the first down mark. It's fine. Let's go to replay, which then clearly also shows the guy gets the first down by a yard, and the replay goes, no, it's
inconclusive.
Notre Dame ball. They've got a miracle chance with 30 seconds to go. If Notre Dame had won that game on that call, it would have been the biggest screw job, really, for an upset pick in history, but they didn't, and Northern Illinois held on to win. And then after the game, they go down on the broadcast to interview Northern Illinois' head football coach. What's his name?
Thomas Hammack.
Thomas Hammack.
Thomas Hammack, and he is a
played
former
Northern,
player.
Yep.
And he has been part of this program for like years and years. And the emotion that he just exudes, like, it got me, right? I tweeted about it.
From the beginning.
Yeah. Oh, it got me.
He is teary as he walks up to the microphone.
You know, I'm so proud of our kids, the coaches, just everybody. They believed. They believed. And we came here and got it done.
You told your guys this week that you didn't need anyone to be a superhero or superhuman. They just needed to be their best. What kind of performances did you see out there?
They listened to what I said. I told them all week, we don't need luck. We just got to be our best. And they was their best today, and we was able to get it done.
I loved it. I actually loved
it. Where is this emotion coming
okay,
from
that's not a great
for
question.
You.
You know,
here's the emotion.
All these guys that have been with our program, been through the ups and downs, and they continue to fight.
Hell yeah!
You know, it's like they're my kids. I'm happy for the adversity, the push through. But, you know, no matter the situation, I just couldn't be more proud.
Thomas Hammack.
Awesome, man. Well done.
You're a doo-doo this. You were asking the question, would you want Deion Sanders to be coaching your program? No, I want Thomas Hammack to be coaching my program.
Yeah, man.
That's the kind of person I want as a coach.
Played great. Played great. Tip your hat.
And that's Don't and Doo-Doo This for a Monday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, the playoff race is heating up in the National League. It's pretty much down to four teams, three slots. Someone is going to be very
stop saying this.
Disappointed.
I hate this. I hate this narrative.
At
I hate
the
it.
End of September. And I will explain a little bit of the math behind it all.
Oh,
God.
No. Can I just? I'm going to just go to the bathroom.
No, it's good. Good news for the Padres. I promise you. Coming up next with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Just talking during the break, I had my first ever cold tub experience this weekend.
Yeah, he sent us video and it is spectacular. Spec.
That was near the end of the 3 minutes. I thought I might get out after one. I was I was dying. I thought
how
this
cold?
Is miserable. It's only 49, which I know is not cold when it comes to cold tubs.
It's cold.
But I mean, you think what's ocean temp? You know, miserable. It's 61 or like when it's in the ocean, that feels
is
insanely
it? Is
cold.
Is it that warm?
It's that warm, yeah.
Oh my God.
Around here at least it is.
Let me just
right now it's probably 72 close
degrees.
To 72 right now. That's
holy
the ocean.
Smokes, that's
ocean.
Beautiful.
You get in and that still feels kind of cold.
Yeah, like,
so
whoa.
When you get in 49, it's
like you still have to kind of ease yourself into
yeah,
the
yeah,
ocean
yeah.
at 72, but
and Woods, you were thinking of going and doing it as well today.
Yeah,
I tried it for recovery. I'm still trying to figure out whether it helped or not, but it certainly was very numb when I got out.
Yeah.
I went up to
nipples.
Nipple air level.
There are people that get in there
like
and they go
the
under. They go in, which is like, it makes your brain. Yeah, you do.
But I stayed save for that. 3 minutes, and I got out and felt pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
Very relaxed afterwards.
Yeah, you get a little clarity in your brain as well. It just makes you get out, you're like, all right, well, you know what my wife bought me for our anniversary is coming up, which I had forgotten about on the 22nd. So I showed up. She goes, I got you one of your anniversary presents. It came early. Would you like it now? I said, yes. You've probably seen them on Instagram. It attaches to both sides of your shower, okay? And it's a tray with million little holes in it, and it goes right up under your shower head, and you fill it with ice, and it's like an ice shower, and the water runs through the ice, and it makes you freezing cold. And I go, I don't want this. And she goes, but you like to do cold tubs and stuff. I go, yeah, I like
I've never
to
heard of this.
Submerge my body in a cold tub, but I actually never really get my head wet.
Do you ever accidentally get into the shower before the
yes,
water's heated up?
It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's like
yesterday,
the worst thing.
On purpose. We
after
just played baseball in 105 degree heat. I went home, just cold shower. And it like to go from your body temperature being so hot and so drained, and then you get in a cold shower, it like shocks your system.
Yeah,
and it literally takes your breath.
So now I have to lug ice over to the shower, put it in, then turn the shower on. Like, forget it, man. So she'll buy me anything so that I don't get another cold tub. She raged so hard when I was filling up the cold tub. How many times are you going to do this? Are we going to be broke from our water bill? I'm like, it's supposed to be just one time. No, it grew mold and all kinds of stuff, so I had to get rid of it. I got one of those crappy plastic ones. It didn't do anything, so I'm back to the drawing board on my cold plunging bin, but I'm glad you got to experience it. It's really worthwhile.
All right, according to FanGraphs, the Padres still have, despite losing a series for just the second time since the All-Star break, a 92.4% chance of making the playoffs. So why are we so concerned that things are turning south on the San Diego Padres. We'll get to that right after this check of traffic.
Who's concerned?
I'm just going to ask that.
Are people really concerned they're not going to make the playoffs?
Oh. Everybody is concerned. Have you not seen Padres fans on social media?
Yeah, but it's the nature of fandom, I think.
Yes, but should it be? Can we not just accept?
Padres are going to make the playoffs, guys.
I like your confidence. I do. And I think I share it. We'll talk about it after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Baseball coverage on 97.3 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. So here we stand. 17 games remaining in the regular season. Padres are 81-64. They are first place in the National League wild card race. One half a game.
Woo!
Ahead of the Arizona Diamondbacks, 80-64. Diamondbacks avoided getting swept by the Astros at Minute Maid Park yesterday. Pavin Smith, did you see this?
Three home runs,
8 runs batted in. 3-run homer, grand slam, solo home run in his first 3 at-bats. I went back. That's 8 RBI. Pavin Smith had 7 RBI from the end of May until yesterday. And he had 8 in his first 3 at-bats in this game yesterday.
What a day.
Where these guys come through, I have no idea. But the Diamondbacks actually have been struggling a little bit lately. They're 4-6 in their last 10. Padres are 5-5. The New York Mets finally lost. 9-game winning streak came to an end. Thank you, Cincinnati. Reds beat them with 2 in the ninth, 3-1. They are 78-65. They're 2 games behind the Padres and tied with the Braves for that third and final wild card spot. The Braves won in extra innings, 2 in the 11th, to beat the Toronto Blue Jays 4-3 and take 2 of 3 in that interleague series. So after that, the Cubs are 5 back. So it's pretty much down to 4 teams, 4-3 spots. And I see the concern out there from Padres fans. And there certainly is an absolutely believable, logical way where the Padres can miss the playoffs, even with a 92.4% chance of making it. Because if they continue to play 500 ball, which they have over the last 2 weeks, essentially, they're 5-5 in their last 10 games, they will end up right around 89 to 90 wins. Now, that's usually, in fact, every single year, that's been enough to make the playoffs in the National League. But the way that the Braves and Mets and Diamondbacks have been playing, those teams don't need to play out of their minds to get to 90, 91 wins. If they play a few games above 500 and the Padres play 500 ball, you could end up fourth out of those 4 teams and miss the playoffs at the end of the year. Remember, though, when there's only 4 teams involved and there's 3 playoff spots available, even if they were all tied at this moment, that would mean every team would have a 75% chance of making the playoffs. So that's the baseline here. 3 of 4 would be if you were absolutely tied, and that was it. The Padres, though, have an advantage. They've got a 2-game lead over both the Mets and the Braves. And guess what? Mets and Braves still have to play each other this year. So they can't both be completely hot the rest of the season, which means that the Padres just play decent baseball, not otherworldly baseball. Just keep winning most series. You can even drop a series here or there. Should be more than enough to get into the playoffs. Plus, they still have 3 games against the Chicago White Sox left this year, which are no guarantees, but you'd rather have those games left than not have those games left. They also have tough games left. Astros, Dodgers, Diamondbacks. So, you know, you're not expecting to win every single game the rest of the way. But the Padres remain in really good position.
And the catbird seat.
That's why FanGraphs has them where they are. They don't just sit around in a room and say, well, I don't know, I think the Padres are 92.4%. They factor in remaining schedule, strength of team, everything into that equation. And they say, play this season 100 times, Padres should make it 92.4% of the time the rest of the way. It's a good spot to be in. Better than the other 3 teams.
I'm not overly concerned. And I think I said last week, I'll be really concerned when this team's 3 in a row, 4 in a row. Now, they're on the verge of dropping 3 in a row if they go out and lose to George Kirby tomorrow night. But I just, look, I learned this, I think it was 2 years ago, here on the Ben and Woods program, Remember when we said, we did on our Christmas and holiday extravaganza, we did the air your grievances. Remember that? Guy called in. He's like, I love you, Woodsy, but stop telling me how to fan. I'm going to fan how I want. And I went, all right. And I filed that nugget away. And I know I can be guilty of it at times. I tried really not to. Your experience is your experience. I'm going to tell you from my perspective. This team has earned my trust. They've done nothing to lose my trust. I have seen a remarkable effort from this team all year long. I also know the ins and outs of how a baseball season works. And while I didn't say it, it was early back in April, May, and June. It was early. I didn't want that message out there because that message was really pervasive the year before. And it was like, we'll catch up. We'll get there. I wanted to have a sense of urgency, and I wanted the guys to. And they have. Boy, have they ever. They've had remarkable comebacks. They've taken care of business. They've beaten good teams. They've played their asses off. They've had injuries. They've overcome them. They in the the dog days, right after the All-Star break, Benny, they went on a monstrous run. They've earned my trust. I trust them. That's what I'm telling you. That's how I feel.
Even in the games that they've lost,
they've
recently,
still fought, man.
They've been right there. I mean, they had a 3-0 lead in one game, and they gave up a grand slam to lose it in the ninth.
I was there.
They
it
battled
sucked.
Back yesterday. They nearly pulled off the win. Even the one they lost on Saturday, which wasn't one of their better games, it took a weird 2-home-run day from a number 9 hitter.
That kid, by the way, has got 5 home runs in like 19 at-bats. He's like one of their
up-rising. He's
not going to be batting 9 for them forever, right? So he's one of their up-and-comers, I guess. Good player. But again, the Kurt Casale one probably hurt the worst yesterday. That was the one that shouldn't happen. But can't really fault Alec Jacob there. Guys out there grind. He's now your new long relief man, inexplicably, but he is. Guys have stepped up all year. Guys have earned my trust. I trust them. I believe in them. I'm going to continue to believe in them.
And I also believe in them for when things get to the postseason. When the Padres have to win a game, and they're putting their best bullpen forward and their best lineup forward in every single game, I still believe they're going to be very hard to beat under those circumstances. Now, they're not going to win every single game. It's baseball. But they've put together what we said on the roundtable last week, a team that doesn't have any glaring weaknesses and has a lot of strengths at this point. The biggest weakness right now is the injury at shortstop and what they're going to do. We talked about that. They may address that by tomorrow in Seattle with some changes in a lineup. But for the most part, the pitching rotation is in a good spot. The bullpen is in a really good spot.
And you can be concerned about the pitching rotation, certainly. And you can be concerned about, not getting a ton of length, the weird things that have happened with Dylan Cease, his start a couple starts ago where he comes out and walks two guys and they end up scoring and they got him off the hook that game. You can be concerned about his start on Saturday. You can be concerned about Joe Musgrove's weird whatever that was yesterday. Sure, I think it's okay. But there's also enough positives in there that should get you to kind of even it out.
None of the pitchers, including Cease, are showing signs of velocity dipping or all of a sudden their pitches just aren't sharp. They've thrown some down the middle that have been hit. That's baseball. That's going to happen. But there are no obvious signs of giving ground. There's no obvious signs that they've run out of gas and there's nothing left in the tank for the end of the season. Michael King looks great. Yeah, a little concerned about Yu Darvish and how quickly he's going to get back. Tomorrow will be an important day, I think, for
Yu
Darvish.
He's had one start.
But he's only had one start coming back. And, I still have a lot of faith in where this team is going.
As do I. And I do think they will make the playoffs. I'm not overly concerned about it. Like I said, I'll get concerned if they start to really hit the skids. And, the thing that probably made me the most concerned was Jackson Merrill fouling a ball off his knee.
God, I'm scared.
And when he hit the deck, I went, oh, God. And I absolutely, he played one more inning in center field. And I was talking to Buddy, and they go, well, he's young. He needs to start. I go, not against Logan Webb, he doesn't, who's going to be riding that two-seamer in on his hands all night. He's going to do it again. the right time to give Jackson Merrill a night off, I think, was Saturday. But, yeah, we will still get into that game and more as well.
All right, coming up in our 8 o'clock hour, we'll talk with our friend in-season Sammy Levitt's going to be with us. We got concert tickets to give away. Don't go anywhere. More Ben and Woods coming up on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.